Time now here on RNIB Connect Radio to find out what it is like treading the boards of the National Theatre's Olivier stage as a visually impaired actor, as we catch up with Amy Forrest, who you may have seen in a number of those long-running television dramas, a couple of episodes of Call the Midwife, and a few films too. Earlier this year, I managed to grab a few minutes with Amy during the first week's performances of the revival of Small Island to the National Theatre, and Amy again taking up the role of Mrs. Ryder too. Hello, Amy, and welcome to Connect Radio.
Hello, and thank you very much for having me.
As we record, Amy, you are currently back on stage at the National Theatre in London with the revival of Small Island, which must be such a thrill for you as an actor treading the boards where so many other actors have performed over the years.
Yeah, oh my goodness, it is an absolute dream to be on the stage, to be on the Olivier. When you think about all the amazing people that have been on that stage, you know, it's like, I mean, I can't, there's so many, isn't there? Like, you know, I remember thinking when I first ever stepped foot on the stage, I was like, oh, Judi Dench has been on here, or like Maggie Smith or Ian McKellen or Sophie Akinado. All these incredible actors have been on this stage, and it's just such a delight to be part of that and get to do this. Such an incredible play. It's I guess it's like a dream come true, really, to be honest.
Amy, when did you first get into acting, and was it something that you'd always wanted to do from a small age?
Yes, it is something. Well, at first I wanted to be a tap dancer, so I was watching like movies and stuff on TV, like black and white films, and they were like tapping, and I was like, oh, I want to do that. So that was my first initial thing, and then I just knew I wanted to be on the stage. So I joined the Brewery Youth Theatre in Kendal when I was about six, because I was an only child. My mum was like, go and mingle with other children and it give you confidence and things like that. And I just really took to it like a duck to water. I just really loved it and loved telling stories. It was almost like playing. It was like just play. And I just loved it. I loved making up things and saying you're this and I'm that. And, you know, as you do when you're a kid. But yeah, I remember very specifically being on the stage when I was like six and saying my line and standing there and pointing, saying this line. And I just remember the feeling, and that was it, really. Yeah, I always wanted to be on the stage. I actually used to say, when I was in primary school, I'd actually say, when I'm older, I just want to live out of a suitcase and just travel all over and just perform. And that's all I wanted to do. And I said, if I could, I'd sleep on the stage, which is a really weird thing to say. But I felt so at home on a stage. And it's, you know, but I was like, if I had a sleeping bag, I'd just sleep on a stage. So, yeah.
How easy or hard was it for you getting into acting as a visually impaired person? Was it something that you were very open about with your visual impairment, or was it something that you tried to hide when going for auditions for parts?
I never said anything about being visually impaired because I was born with, I've got an eye condition called coloboma, and because I was born with it, I used to just say, oh, I can't see. So if I bump into something, I can't see. And I think people saw that as just like, oh, she's clumsy. I don't think they took it literally that I couldn't see that table or something. So I never said anything. And I think it's because I just grew up, because I grew up in Kendal, there was very little opportunity at that time to get into acting as in like in London and do like, you know, big plays and things like that and television and all that, because it was so far out. And I didn't say anything because I didn't want it to be a hindrance. How wrong was I? I mean, it was, I was like, oh, I don't want people knowing, and then people might not employ me and all this kind of absolute rubbish. Because what I found actually coming out as visually impaired and being very truthful with myself and other people, you know, being honest with people, is it's actually really helped me, because theatres, like especially like, well, the National, they were brilliant, absolutely fantastic. They were like, what are your access needs? And I'm like, well, I need bigger print. Oh, great. And I need this. And oh, and by the way, I can't see down, so I need this. And I've started saying things like, oh, I might need tape on something, or, you know, to see where I'm walking backstage so I can feel it. Yeah. So if I'm being honest, I kept it quiet, being visually impaired. And that was my own feeling unconfident about it. And also, you know, I didn't know about drama schools in London, and I went and did a performing arts course for a year, and then everybody went off to drama schools, and my parents were like, we can't afford that. So not only was I visually impaired, I also hadn't gone to like a RADA or a Lambda or a, you know, one of these amazing schools. I've done courses. I have done like short like courses, like I did a short course at ArtZ and Second City and things like that, but I haven't been to like a 3-year drama school. So yeah, so I kept it quiet. And then as soon as I was honest, oh my goodness me, the amazing people that I've worked with, because it was actually a director that asked me about my eyes, because you can, if you know, it, my pupils are shaped, very classically shaped, like when people have colobomas. So I've got like a keyhole, almost like a cat-shaped pupil. And so I've got different shaped pupils. And it was actually a director who asked me about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I do. He said, do you need anything, for, you know, for your sight? And I was like, yeah, yeah, I do. But I just get on with it. I just, you know, I just know my obstacles. Just, you know. And he said, you really should tell people when you go into jobs about your sight. And I was like, yeah, I should really. And then they don't think I'm, you know, they don't think I'm just being clumsy or, yeah. So it was actually Matthew Zia, who was the director, who kind of planted the seed and said, Amy, you really should tell people that you're visually impaired, because you need things in place and it will make your job a lot easier. And then I did. And since then, all I need to concentrate on now is my job, which is great.
And that must be so good, knowing that, you know, all you have to do is concentrate on your job and learning your roles and getting into the character that you're playing. But do you feel like many of us who are visually impaired that sometimes we have to work a little bit harder than our sighted sort of colleagues?
Yeah, you do. Definitely. Things like, so for instance, the other day we did a relaxed performance, which, as you probably know, is a performance where people can come and go out of the auditorium. The lights are a little bit further up. They still see, you know, the full show, but it's just a relaxed performance. And I went on the stage with a clipboard and I read like a welcome to the National, you know, welcome to the show. I'm Amy, I'm playing Mrs. Ryder, and all this. This is a relaxed performance. And just by doing that, for somebody who's sighted, fully sighted, that would just be like, oh, yeah, I've got the words there and I can just do that. Whereas I've got to look at it and still kind of, I have to see the shapes and not just the word, if you understand what I mean. Like sometimes I see the shapes of the words if I'm just glancing, because I can't just instantly see it. So you are working that much harder, that little bit harder. And also it had a little light above it so I could, and then I highlighted it so I could make it as prominent as possible. So you are definitely, because, you know, I don't really have peripheral, I have no sight in my right eye, and I've, my peripheral on my left is not great. I can't see down on both. So like people rely on their peripheral vision usually for things like on stage, you know, like finding things like a table or a chair or whatever it be, or a person. It is harder. However, it's easier than real life, because you can plan where you're going. You can plan, oh, I'm going to stand here, or I'm going to go here, and know exactly where you're going to go by counting the steps or whatever. But in real life, it's a lot, you know, it's a lot more difficult, because people just walk everywhere, and, you know, there's feet everywhere and people everywhere. And, you know, so, yeah, you definitely work harder. However, it's great to have the access there so you can just do your job. And whilst people are chatting or whatever, I'll be navigating where I'm going on the stage. And there's a lot of support here at the National Theatre as well. You know, you get shown around the stage if you're a visually impaired or blind actor. So they're very caring and very supportive and great.
And I suppose for people, sighted people, it's probably quite a strange thing to think that somebody who's visually impaired is probably able to get around a stage much better than they would do in normal life, because people might think, oh, a stage is full of things that you're bound to fall over, but you've obviously, you know, rehearsed it, you've walked it, you've blocked it, you've, and everything has to be in its place. So it's a much more ordered area, I would think.
Yeah, it is. It's quite funny because people are like, you know, shocked when I come out of the stage door and I've got like my cymbal cane, and they're like, oh, you know, like people are like, it's really funny because when I'm on the stage, they're all very like, we just get on with our work and whatever. And they're just amazed that I can do these things and find things. Like, I go down traps. So if people don't know what that is, it's like, you stand on a part of the stage and then you will go down like a lift. So you like disappear. So when Rufus said to me, oh, by the way, you're going to be going down two traps, I went, you are joking. You do know I can't see down. I was like, right, okay, let's figure out how to work this. So like, I know the table's there. I can put my hand out. I won't hit my chin on the table because I know the distance and whatnot. But then when I'm out in real life, people like, you know, other cast members are like, are you okay? Can you get on the tube okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. But it's like, you know, it must be really bizarre for people because, yeah, when you're on stage, you navigate your way around, don't you?
For Small Island, I believe you were discovered by the NT through Profile Performers, which is a video database for deaf and disabled performers. Would you be able to tell me a bit about how Profile Performers works? Because it sounds like a great idea for raising the profile of deaf and disabled performers and actors.
Yes. So Profile Performers was set up by Charlotte Bevan. I found out about it by chance, really. It's a lot more widely known because this was before it was like really, really known. And I met a friend of Charlotte's, who happens to be a casting director. I didn't know she was a casting director. And when I was talking to her, and she said, my friend works at the National. Anyway, they started this Profile Performers, which is absolutely fantastic. She asked me about my eyes because you can notice that I've got the different shaped pupils. And I said, yeah, I've got coloboma. And she was like, right. And she said, are you a disabled actor? And this was just after I'd spoken to Matthew Zia. So it was around that time. I said, but you know, I've got, you know, this, and she was like, well, write to the National, write to Charlotte. And I said, okay. And I just wrote, and I just said, hi, I've got, you know, coloboma, I don't know if this is what you're looking for, kind of thing. And they said, oh yeah, come down, we'd love to meet you. And I did a monologue and a song. So I did a monologue by Jan McVerry from The Street, which is a TV show. And I did Don't Rain on My Parade. And then it ended up on a tape. And then some tapes got sent to Rufus when they were casting for Small Island. And I was one of them that got picked. And I came in and I auditioned. And when I auditioned for Small Island, the train was delayed because of the storm Beast from the East. I got stuck in the storm. And that's really weird because Mrs. Ryder's she's in a hurricane. So it was kind of like a weird fate thing. Yeah, so it was through Profile that I guess I got discovered. If anyone's thinking of, you know, if there's any artists out there, Profile Performers is brilliant because you just literally do a tape, you'll come to the National Theatre to do, you know, a monologue and a song. And and that's how they're discovering more actors with disabilities. And yeah, it's amazing. And it's great to see other actors on the stage who have disabilities. And it's just as it should be, you know, it's really, representation is so important. So if you're an artist, please get in touch and sign up.
And coming back a little bit to more opportunities for deaf and disabled and visually impaired actors, obviously many people may have seen you in Call the Midwife and other long-running dramas on TV and a lot of your theatre work and films too. We are seeing a lot more disabled actors on stage and screen. Do you think that opportunities are getting better now for disabled actors?
I think they are getting better. I think we've still got a way to go, definitely. it was great to watch the BAFTAs, and Coda, one of the actors, is deaf in that. I think there is definitely more opportunities. I think we are starting to see a bit of a movement, which is great. There definitely could be more. Definitely. There's still not enough, because there's a lot of people out there who have disabilities and a lot of people who need to be represented on TV and you know, on stage. And there's not that many, off the top of my head, visually impaired people on the television stories. And also, it'd be nice to just have, it would not just have them as their story, have it as like, oh, someone's just happens to be blind or visually impaired. It's like just a thing, you know, it's just somebody living their life, you know, it's not. So I'm kind of hoping for that to eventually happen.
Because I think there is certainly more on stage maybe than maybe on TV. I mean, we do see a lot of, you know, sort of people in wheelchairs and stuff and things like that. And I was very lucky before lockdown to go and see Teenage Dick at the Donmar Warehouse, which was a play written by a disabled actor for disabled actors and disabled characters. But the actual production was not necessarily focusing, disability was there, but it was more than just disability. And it's great to see that All of Us is coming up at the National too. So I think maybe there's more opportunities in theatre than that, perhaps in TV.
Yep, Toby, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's definitely more prevalent on stage at the moment than on TV. And I think we need to really push that. We definitely need more on TV and film. Definitely, 100%.
In Small Island, as a visually impaired actor, you're playing a sighted role. And I wondered if any of the audience members might actually notice, realise, or possibly maybe care that Mrs. Ryder is being played by a visually impaired actor. Do you think that people actually notice that, or does it not really matter at all?
I don't think they notice at all. You wouldn't know that she is. You wouldn't, well, you know, she's sighted, but you wouldn't know that I was visually impaired. The biggest that I wish I'd have written, because on the program it says I'm a part of profile performers, but I really wish I'd have written a visually impaired actress, just so people knew, because people don't know. And I think that's important as well, if someone is watching the show that is visually impaired or blind, or you know, I kind of wish that was on there, so next time I will. But yeah, you wouldn't know. There's one little bit where I look for the table and I look for the trap. There's one little tiny bit, but it's whilst I'm speaking, so I don't think people really notice.
I suppose that's the beauty of the stage and the theatre, isn't it? That's the magic of theatre. People don't know. Amy, what advice might you give to one of our listeners who might be thinking, I would love to become an actor, but I'm a little bit sort of worried about how people might perceive or judge me as a visually impaired person?
I'd say go do it. Go definitely do it. People will there's a really good company called Triple C, which I'm actually an ambassador for, with and I work with Melissa John and Sherilee Houston. They run a company within that called DANC, which is Disabled Artists Networking Community. And on Twitter, that is at DANC, DANC _ Manc, MANC. And I would say follow them. There is loads of opportunities. And if you're feeling a bit like, oh, this is a bit of a scary world, that is a really, really good kind of in way, because you will be surrounded by lots of other disabled artists and you will be supported by them. And there's a newsletter that goes out every so often with opportunities. And there's classes, there's webinars that you can get involved in. It's all completely free. And I'd say get in touch with them. They've also got a page. It's called Talent Finder, CCC Talent Finder. And they've got a Talent Finder, and you can create a profile on there where you can put, you know, what you've done and things. So I'd say first and foremost, find out about CCC and DANC Manc, and that will be a way in. And a lot of us, we're all members of them. Like Ruth Madeley is part of Dank, and Sherilee, she's on Coronation Street, and Melissa, that's just done Life. Yeah, that's a really good way in, I'd say. First and foremost, we have meetings in London and Manchester, so come to one of them and you'll be very surprised at all the amazing, how many people are there. So yeah, definitely get yourself down there.
Thank you very much indeed, Amy Forrest, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much, Toby. Have a lovely day.